We're happy once again to have Brother Scott Taylor with us this morning. He didn't bring his entourage this time, but we are happy that you came, Joy, to hear him. So we're glad to have him with us. The last time he was with us twice last year, and the last time was the 1st of December. I believe it was December 5th. So we're glad to have him back. Scott is a teacher for Spartanburg District 6. He has a new position, and he gave me two titles, and I only remember one, but he's the director of the planetarium for Spartanburg District 6. So we're pleased to have him with us. I think you will enjoy his lessons today and tonight. Following Brother Ray reading our scripture, Scott will come speak to us.
I'll be reading 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit.
Good morning. Going over your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. And I took a look at that. Oh, the picture's gone. Well, I took a look at that picture, and I've grown my hair out since then a lot. I've never, ever, ever, ever had my hair this long, ever my entire life. And when it grew out, it curled. And I have no idea where the curls came from, neither does my mama. So anyway, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Abide is a term that we often don't use in our language, in our vernacular today. In fact, I had to look up exactly what the word abide meant. What is the actual definition? Okay, it means to remain or continue. So it's a very simple definition. It means to remain or continue. So this morning, we're going to be looking at three parts of four scriptures of what it means to abide. What does it mean to remain and continue? We've been looking at the place. You can remain in a certain place. You can remain in a certain time. Or you can also remain in a certain state or a certain condition. So quickly, remaining in a certain place. We all have a place that we call home. From a geography standpoint, it's our 000, right? That's where we call home. That is our place. And maybe even more significant is the pew we sit at on Sunday mornings, right? We all have that pew that we like to sit in. We like to sit in the same spot. You know, that's every time I come and visit, you know, I'm like, am I going to sit in somebody's spot? That's like a fear. And then somebody's going to come up and I'm going to have their seat. Because I know I like to have my seat, both at home and my pew at church as well. And I remember growing up in Goose Creek, South Carolina. That's about 3 hours from here. Katie knows where I'm talking about. Katie and I, of course, the Shrines, we go way back. But me and my friends used to drive out to this old, old, old church building, several hundred years old. And we could peek in the windows, and we could see nameplates on the sides of the pew. Of course, you know, as a kid, we thought that was kind of cool, seeing nameplates. I guess you bought the pew, or you bought it and you got your name put on the pew, because that was your pew, right? So remaining in the same place. So you can also remain and continue in time. Now, time, this one's a little bit more difficult. If we talk about from a science perspective, time is probably the most difficult one to explain when we talk about like units of measure. We know how much a gram is, right? Or a kilogram or a pound. We know how long a meter is, right? But how long is a second? You know, because we know obviously we can't go back in time to measure, but how long is a second? So when we talk about abiding in time, we're going to be talking about that daily grind concerning time. Then we got state or condition. State or condition. And the easiest way I could think of this one was my son. He is always in a state or in a condition of being hungry. always. And he's 18. My entourage is a little bit smaller. He's off at college now at Western Carolina. It's only about 2 hours away, but he's always in a state of being hungry. And I remember after a football scrimmage, they fed him, and he ate 5 cheeseburgers. And I'm going, man, kid, you ate 5 cheeseburgers? Then on the way home, he stopped by and got Zaxby's to eat it at home, you know? So he's always in a state. He was always in a condition of being hungry. So again, we'll be looking at place, time, state, and condition. And we're going to be looking at 4 scriptures this morning. Now, there's lots of scriptures we can apply this to, but we're going to be looking at 4 of them. Go to John chapter 8 and verse 31. John chapter 8 and verse 31. And as we look at these scriptures, there's going to be a little bit of overlap between them, but I believe that is good as well. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." So here in John chapter 8 and verse 31, we got abide in my word. Well, what place is this talking about? Okay, this is not talking about a physical location such as this building. It's not talking about the physical location of a building or your home. This is talking about in your heart. Jesus and God and his word abiding in your heart. And if we look at this from a biblical spectrum, abiding in his word, it's talking about the truth. And if we put it on a scale, we got the too restrictive part where people put and abide by things and restrict things that aren't necessarily found in the Bible. But then we got the part on the other end that's too lenient as well, that they're not following what the scriptures say. We got both ends. But when it's talking about abiding in his word, that's talking about the truth. That's talking about that's right there in the middle. Not too lenient, but not too restrictive as well. Abiding in his word concerning time. Okay? And that's talking about until death. That's talking about finishing the race. I remember my grandma, my dad's mother. She retired from nursing and she went home and shut herself in the house and did nothing afterwards. Did nothing. She just went home and did nothing. And I think sometimes as Christians that we think that there is a retirement, okay, here on earth. There is not a retirement. And I remember when I first became a deacon at the Duncan congregation, one of the older gentlemen went, "Well, now it's your turn. I'm going to pass everything off to you." And he basically was talking about him. Now it's time for him to retire. And I'm like, no, you don't retire as a Christian, right? Now your roles will change. Okay, me and Miss Joy have had this conversation. You know, she's aging a little bit. I can't pick on my mom because she's not here, so I got to pick on Joy, right? Okay, but you know, there's obviously things, and I can feel myself now aging as well, that I can't do the things that I used to do. Now your roles will change, and what you're able to do will change, but you can never retire from Christianity. So what state and condition then? Abiding in his word, what state and condition? Well, we can read there in Revelation chapter 3 about the Laodiceans, about how some are cold and how some are hot and how some are lukewarm. If we are abiding in his word, then our state and our condition needs to be hot. It needs to be hot. So now look back at verse 31 again. It starts off with, if you abide in my word. So we have that conjunction. We got that word, if. So if you continue to abide in that place, in that time, in that state, in that condition, okay, it tells us, you are my disciples indeed. You are my disciples indeed. Right, so the second point, the second scripture is going to be John chapter 15 and verse 4. John chapter 15 and verse 4. John 15 and verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So abiding in Jesus, again, the place here is not necessarily a physical location. Again, this is talking about in our hearts, but abiding in Jesus, where does this abiding take place? A lot of times, the word Christian is used as an adjective, almost like, you know, like the color of your hair or the color of your eyes. It's used as an adjective. But the Bible never once uses the word Christian as an adjective. It uses it as a noun, because as a Christian, that is who we are. And if we are abiding in Jesus, then we're abiding them in every aspect of our life, at work, at home, and during our play as well. So abiding in Jesus, again, the place is in our hearts and every aspect of our life. And the time here again, okay, is until death. With my new position, as Joel was trying to say, I'm the director of science. I'm also director of our cool planetarium that we have now in District 6. We are open up in the evenings, every Tuesday evening at 6 and 7. So we got a show this Tuesday on the moon. So if you're interested in coming to see stuff about the moon. But I have flexible scheduling because I'll be working some evenings. I just have to get my 40 hours in a week. But with Jesus, if we're abiding with Jesus, it's not about getting our time in on Sunday morning or getting our time in on Sunday evening and then making sure we're getting our time in on Wednesday evening during Bible class. Abiding in Jesus is not a job where we try to get our 40 hours in a week. It's every aspect of our life. So again, John chapter 15 and verse 4, what state or condition then can we abide in Jesus? What state and condition can we abide? When it's convenient. When it's not convenient. We can read the second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, and he describes it there as being in season as well as being out of season. So John chapter 15 and verse 4, the place is our heart. The time again is until death, when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. And again, we can read that there are some conditions. If we don't want our branch to be cut off, then we need to continually abiding in Jesus. Our third scripture this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. As we know, the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is known as the love chapter, right? Verse 13 says, "And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." So faith, hope. Hope is having that confident expectation. Love is that's the agape love. That's that brotherly love. It's a verb. So what is the place? What is the place where we can continue, where we can remain in faith, hope, and love? Well, one place is between our brethren. Okay, no matter if we're meeting here in Malden, no matter what congregation, and no matter what time of day, or no matter what day of the week, we can continue in faith, hope, and love with our brethren. We can also do it with Christ and with Jesus. So Christ and God. So we got the place. What about the time? What about the time? Again, the time is that daily grind. If we continue to abide in His Word, if we continue to abide in Jesus on a daily basis, then our faith, our hope, and our love will continue to strengthen every single day. Then what again about the state or the condition? A lot of times we try to make it conditional. We try to make our faith, we try to make our hope, or our love conditional. Well, what if my brother just did this? Or what if my sister just did this for me? Or what if I could just do that for them? We try to make this faith, hope, and love conditional towards others. Our fourth verse this morning is going to be 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13. And we're going to try and bring forward that part about being state and being conditional into this next one. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13. "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." Now, what is the place? What is the place that allows us then to abide in Him? We know that Jesus is not physically here anymore, okay? So what is the place that allows us not only to abide in Him, but He in us? and that place was on the cross. And the sacrifice that Jesus gave on our stead, that sacrifice, okay, allows him to abide in us and us in him. So we got the place. Now what about the time? From the moment of creation to the destruction of earth, Jesus is here. We know that in John chapter 1 and verse 1. We can all go all the way back to Genesis as well. And a lot of times, again, time is a tough one for us to understand, right? So if we have the beginning of time right here, there in Genesis 1:1, and we have the end of time right down here, so now we have this linear time scale, right? And what's great about Jesus and what's great about God is they are not restricted by time. Where our minds and everything that we have, we know has a beginning and we know has an end. But God and Jesus do not have a beginning and they do not have an end. They are not restricted by time. And they are at the beginning, they're at Genesis 1:1, and they are in they're at the time of the book of Matthew, and they are right now, they are in all three places at the same time. But they're also then at the destruction of the earth at the end. So they're in all four places at the same time. So what state or condition? What state or condition then are we in? Look at verse 12. There in 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Now that word perfect is talking about that his love has been complete in us. If we love one another. And this love is that unconditional love. It's not driven by superficial appearance, and it's not driven by an emotional attraction. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17 lets us know a little bit about that as well. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So this gives us a quick example then about how does the love of God abide in us. Okay, it's by us now showing love for others. So John chapter 8 and verse 31 tells us that we need to abide in God's word. John chapter 15 and verse 4 tells us that we need to continually abide in Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13 tells us that we need to abide faith, hope, and love. And 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13 tells us that we need to abide in him. But what state and condition are you in this morning? Are you living in a sinful state, or are you living in a state where you are continually abiding in him and in his word and in Jesus? So this morning, think on those things. What have you been abiding in? Have you been abiding in the things of the world? Have you been abiding in sinful things, or have you been abiding in God and his word? So this morning, think on those things. If you need the prayers of the congregation, we can help you this time. If you could please come forward as we stand and as we sing.